the General Failure Podcast is now being calibrated for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to episode 287 of the General Failure Podcast for the week of July 1st, 2021. This week, we hit a triple bogey. It's time to customize your necromancer, and everybody whip out their condor. I'm CJ, and I got with me Dom and TJ.
You know, the condor joke works on two fronts.
It does.
With the stuff that we're going to be talking about.
It does.
I just realized.
All of our jokes are multi-layered on this podcast.
Bullshit.
like an onion.
There's lucky if there's one layer.
Like an onion, they make me cry.
So like an onion, I cut a hole and put my penis in it.
Starting off the way we usually do, why don't we do the thing we're all doing together?
Sex.
Let's start with TJ.
Okay, so I'm looking for Roll20 alternatives. If you don't know what Roll20 is, it's a D&D online platform, so you're able to build maps and, you know, move tokens around. So it really helped during the pandemic. Their fucking money probably went through the roof too. But it's very slow with the maps I'm using, especially for the people I'm playing with. Their computers aren't that heavy, so I'm looking for alternatives. The big one that I found was Foundry VTT. It's a standalone app and also internet browser app as well. That's very similar to Roll20, but it's more community-oriented. A lot of the stuff that can be downloaded is either free and made by the community. It's not made by the person. But there is a main app that you pay $50 for flat out, unlike Roll20, which is a month-to-month kind of thing. And you buy this thing and you can build maps and do all the things Roll20 does. But there's also modules which are made by community members. So if you want something specific made, you know, if you want the tokens to light up, the tokens for your players to light up when it's their turn, there's probably a module for it that'll do that for you. And then you just download it and install it right away. And it's, I'm having a blast with it just because it's so customizable. There is a steep learning curve compared to Roll20. I feel like Roll20 was very easy to use, where Foundry VTT, I'm literally watching a playlist of on YouTube of how to use this thing because I'm so lost. And thank God there's a lot of community stuff out there. They have a Discord that's got thousands of people on it all the time.
But that is most likely what makes it better, and that, you like you said, more customizable, you know?
Yeah, that it's more community based, and there's a better community for it. The only thing is it's only one person codes the whole thing. All the modules are coded by different people, but the main software is coded by one person. So, and the modules, if people stop working on them, they go out of date and may not work anymore. Where, well, Roll20, you're paying for things, but you know that stuff will keep working.
Yeah.
It's usually made by Roll20 people. I've had a blast with it trying to learn it. It is rough. People say it's cheaper, but I will counteract that with it's cheaper off the get-go because you just pay $50 flat out for the app, that's done. But the problem is you have to host it, and you can try to do that on your own, but it is a pain in the ass, especially if you don't have a consistent internet or you know, ability. It's a very hard to get it set up on your own. So you have to host it somewhere else. And there's websites that community members have made that allow you to host on theirs. One's called The Forge, which I'm currently using, but that also costs monthly. So in the long run, this is going to cost more than Roll20, but I'm hoping, I haven't got my players over to yet, but I'm hoping that this runs a little bit better. And it also has a lot better functionality. Like, I was showing Dom a little bit of it, and you can, like, almost like an MMO, you can have things set up on the bottom where, like, your number pad does things. So Dom has set up on his one key Eldritch Blast, so he can just hit one and he'll just roll Eldritch Blast to hit.
It's the only thing I have set.
He's a warlock. That's all you get.
That's all I need.
And you can set up different things.
Eldritch Blast.
And you can set up anything. Pretty much anything can be set up on those little tiles, and it's like an MMO. Click it and it'll roll it. And it's kind of those little cool things that are really nice that Roll20 still hasn't gotten their ass in gear. I'm just really hoping it solves the slowness issue that we've been seeing. It might, but I don't know yet. I'm gonna have to
I have a gaming computer and I can't use Roll20 in Chrome because it's so slow that it's unplayable. I had to download Brave as a browser just so Roll20 would work, and it still slows down sometimes, but Chrome was literally unusable. We have two people in our group who are using like bare bones laptops to play, and like they can't play, they can't move their tokens, and half the time it just like kicks them out of the game. So like I don't know what it is with Roll20 and Chrome and just like destroying your computer resources, but like, goddamn, terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping this solves a lot of those issues. Especially, I don't know why Roll20. I'm also doing, if anyone knows, Dungeon of the Mad Mage, which is pretty much a dungeon crawl, and it's a huge dungeon crawl. These maps are ginormous with a lot of tokens, and also I'm doing dynamic lighting. So I just draw walls and it does a lighting me instead of me like removing pretty much squares of stuff. Makes it a lot easier for me, but it also is a resource hog.
Well, the dynamic lighting is what killed Chrome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also just all the stuff, the size of the maps. And even before I did dynamic lighting, you guys were having some issues. Not as bad as now, but I'm hoping this foundry with its own kind of dedicated server to just my game will help a little bit. Also, they just have really cool functionality. Like, there's modules for taking all your D&D Beyond stuff and importing into your game. So I stole Lauren's login for hers and imported like monsters and items and, you know, all that stuff. So I have all that stuff from the D&D Beyond stuff in the game. And I can import her character too.
That's awesome.
Like, directly, like I just click one button, it imports everything that her character is on D&D Beyond. So it's really nice. And there's stuff for like importing from Roll20. You can import everything in. I haven't used it because I'm afraid to use it because some stuff won't come up. But I'm hopeful that it'll solve my issue. If anyone's used Foundry VTT, that would be fantastic. I would love some help, because I constantly run into issues where I'm just like, I know I'm just using this wrong, and it's not an issue with the software. I'm just dumb. And again, there's a lot of community. Like, I post on their, I think I've posted on their Reddit and their Discord at least once a day for like the last week, and I've gotten an answer back in at least an hour.
Wow.
Which is pretty fucking good. Like, they don't have like an official help, but the community is so big. And people wanting to get off Roll20 anyway, so
yeah,
this is the better alternative.
That's really awesome, though, that you have that.
Yeah, like an alternative to Roll20, at least. Because I need to find something. It sucks that they're having such problems. And even I'm having problems as the Game Master. It's crashing sometimes for me. So I'm just like, what can I do to alleviate this? And it's still, there might be an app on your computer, but you can still, the players still load it through your browser. So they don't have to download anything. They just, you just, yeah, just send them an invite somewhere. And they just, yeah. And then also you can use it on the browser as well. So you can kind of edit on the fly. Mm-hmm. But like the cool thing I like about it is there's more things to do with your lighting. So I can put torches down and make it look like torches are glowing. Like it's got like this, like, yeah. And then you can do that with darkness torches where like it just takes away all the light in a circle.
Yeah.
And then like the vision's really cool. There's just a lot more you can do in this. It's just a way steeper learning curve. So you're looking for an alternative to Roll20, I'd check out Foundry. It's going to cost you a little bit more just because the hosting fees are a little bit more and you're paying $50 up front. But I think it just has more tools and it's more active as a community.
Nice.
So go check that out.
Yeah.
So I had been playing I don't know if you guys really, I guess you did play a little. So the Pirates of the Caribbean update for Sea of Thieves.
That's what that means.
Yes, not person of the color. You assholes.
I didn't write that. Fuck you.
It says SOTPOTC, so that's what I thought it was.
You should know what that means. Sea of Thieves, Pirates of the Caribbean. So season 3 just began for the new update, which included a bunch of new stuff as they partnered with Disney for all the Pirates of the Caribbean content, which includes a lot of new stuff, as well as 5 new tall tales related to the Pirates of the Caribbean story. I did the first tall tale where we speed ran TJ, Greg and I ran TJ through.
I mean, you didn't mean to. Did half of it. And then I was like, I'll join the game. Yeah. And then I just fucking booked it to the beginning because it was all finished. So I just ran my ass off for 10 minutes.
The first tall tale basically is like all of this great story as you're walking through this area and just like, these ghostly visions appear. And if you're a really big fan of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disney, not the, like the movies, but like the actual ride, walking through that area and just like listening to the music and hearing like that recorded voice in the background, that's supposed to be like a ghostly voice, but it basically feels like you're on the ride. And it was really awesome for me. And then I think Greg and I spent like an hour and a half, like basically exploring every inch of this area as we like ran through it. And then TJ just like, you know, runs through it like 30 seconds.
I saw the ghost and then actually shot myself from a ship that was there. I don't know whose ship it was, but I shot myself from the ship and then just fucking booked. Like I pretty much just platformed my way through this thing as quickly as possible. And I just see ghosts popping up and shit. And I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
The best thing is I can see your name in the distance. So I'm just heading in that direction.
Yeah. But the first tall tale is really cool. And there's a little like, I don't know if I want to spoil it, but there's like a little secret ship area that you kind of get to from another game. Which was kind of fun to find, but you guys were before I did that tall tale. Like we were playing, and you got to see all the new enemies, like the crab people.
Yeah, you run into those immediately.
Yeah,
like, it wasn't like they tell you that they're showing up. It's just like the first thing you do. Yeah. Like you go out and fucking go off your ship. And
I wasn't expecting that.
I didn't either. I thought you would have to like play the new stuff in order for it to load in, but it doesn't give a shit. It was like, here's these big crab dudes, here's poison dudes, here's the mermaids that fuck you anytime your ship stops.
Like, those eel fuckers that like electrocute you constantly.
They're the worst. Those ones suck.
Yeah. I was at least expecting it to be like, if you go to certain places, you might get certain enemies. But like we're literally sitting on the island. It's like there's a skeleton, there's a crab dude or whatever they call them, the crawlers. And then there's the eel like fucker and whatnot.
Like there's a deed to run into all three. And I think we did that on the first island.
Yeah, we did.
Like immediately.
Yeah, but it was still cool. I definitely like all the new stuff. I mean, I know that the game is mostly cosmetics, but there wasn't really much for like me to call home about. I did like the dog. You get the dog that's holding like the keys in its mouth.
Oh, the keys, yeah.
From Pirates of the Caribbean. That was really cool. But like
you do run into Jack at some point, which is in the trailers.
Yeah. I like the I will say with the first tall tale, it is very railroady and that like you literally cannot fail the first tall tale. Like you, if you die, you just end up back like in the exact same spot you're in because you're already in like the Sea of the Damned with all the dead people. Yeah. But like
the thing also is with that game, that in a game that has no invisible walls, game, that part of that tall tale is filled with invisible walls for you not to get across things.
Yeah,
before you have to complete them.
Yeah,
it's really, really railroady.
Invisible walls are like super outdated in today's game.
Yeah, there's
like I was trying to jump over stuff and get to rocks and try to like just circumnavigate like the things it wanted you to do, and it wasn't having it. It was like, nope, you're not getting past this. Fuck off. But go get the key or some shit.
But that first tall tale is like really meant to set up stuff. Like it's very much like they want you to experience the story and everything and kind of like get into that feel of the Pirates of the Caribbean and like get you ready for the other four tall tales that come after it. Mm-hmm. So like I can forgive that. I'm hoping that the rest of it won't be like that. I don't think it will. But I am excited to play more of it and see a little more. So check that out. If you've got Game Pass, check that out for the new update. So what else are we playing? We're playing Mario Golf.
Woo!
Mario Golf came out. That was really awesome. Everyone came over, including Greg, and we did 18 holes. It took us
took a lot longer than we anticipated.
Sure did. Like 5 hours or something. We started at what, like 8 o'clock, I think, and we finished around. No, it was like four.
Finished around midnight. Took about 4 hours.
Yeah, it was close to midnight for 18 holes.
And that was standard golf.
Yeah. Yep.
We didn't even get to play the super rush part.
No. Greg and I did. After you guys left, Greg stayed.
Oh, really?
Greg stayed a little longer. I was like, I need to play the super rush. It was like, if you're not going home, we're playing it. So him and I did that afterwards. But when we played have you played any of the adventure mode?
I haven't played since we played.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So we played with the motion controls. And what I've realized is like the whole thing with the game, you know, like every character has like their own special clubs and they have their own like super moves. Like we really didn't get into that stuff. And even when I played with Greg and did all like the super rush games and whatnot, I still feel like I didn't really get into that as much. But, I thought it was really interesting that once you leave what we did, that 18 holes with the motion controls, everything is basically button controls. They don't really allow you to use motion controls outside of anything else besides just like regular golf.
Oh, that's dumb.
Which I thought
was
interesting.
Why would they do that?
So I think because it's so
even
quick
though the motion controls weren't fantastic.
Yeah, they weren't that good.
Yeah. No, they weren't very responsive, and it was very confusing.
Yeah, there was a lot of things on the screen telling you what to do, but it didn't feel like it explained it well enough.
Like the practice shots?
Yeah.
And trying to figure out what that line.
Why they're curving. Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, you have to face the screen, too, instead of being to where you would normally golf. It was just really funky. It just seemed like they were trying to change the wheel for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
I mean, they've never had motion controls in a Mario Golf game before, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's other golf games that have had motion controls for a while.
Yeah, but they don't really.
Yeah, for a while, because there hasn't been one in 10 years.
Yeah. But they were doing well with it. It worked really well, and then they changed a lot.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens. I'm hoping maybe they tweak it or something, but I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I still enjoyed it. I thought
it
was a lot of fun.
I suck.
Apparently, Greg was really fucking good at it. I don't get it. But
Also, the weird thing is, depending on the height of your character, depends on the angle of your. Because he was playing Baby Bowser, and he pretty much had to use it as a bat.
Yeah.
Yep.
That
and
was
then with
weird.
I was Bowser, so I had to like go straight down with it. Because he's so fucking huge.
You think they would like adjust for that?
No. I don't know. You think.
That was
just
really
make
strange.
His clubs really small so that like it would still work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like it shouldn't matter how the character is holding the club. It should matter how you are for the motion controls. But maybe that feels a little lazy. And it seems like the button controls were first and they kind of just threw the motion in afterwards as like you could do it because when you're doing the button controls, like there's so much extra shit you can do, especially as you level up your character for adventure mode. So you know when you're golfing, there's like the bar that rises for how much power you give it, and then as you level up your character, that bar gets like split up into sections where like after you choose the power, it goes up like a second time. You can like move your joystick like forward, back, left, or right, like a certain amount, and it will like help like curve your ball to the point where like if you have enough, like you can like make your ball like do like S turns in the air and
so,
stuff.
So like in the old fucking Tiger Woods where you could spin the Wiimote around and it would go in different directions.
Yeah. But
which
also
we tried to do at some point.
Yeah. But also like instead of hitting the ball, you know, you're hitting the button once to stop it at the right power that you want to hit it for. When you hit that button the second time to stop it, you can like choose to add topspin or like backspin or super backspin onto it, depending on if you double tap the button or hit like B instead for backspin. So like there's, it seems like there's a lot more extra control when it comes to the button controls.
Yeah,
because
you couldn't backspin with motion controls. No. Like you couldn't forward spin or backspin or anything like that. Like the fuck.
Yeah, it didn't seem like you could really.
That's why we sucked.
Yeah,
that's exactly why I sucked. That and the fact that my ball was magnetized to the sand traps. No matter where I would hit it, it would like I could hit a helicopter or something. It'd be like, oh, sand trap. Like just something would happen and it would go in the sand trap.
So funny.
Yeah.
And the thing was, like, we were all good at something different, especially with the motion controls. We were just all good at something different, which was weird.
Yeah. But yeah,
it was. I enjoyed the shit out of it. I had a lot of fun. I definitely want to try Super Rush. It sucks that you can't do motion controls with that.
Yeah, but it also sucks that. Oh, you don't know this. So all those Super Rush games are only up to two people.
Yep.
Yeah,
I don't know if you remember that.
Whole screen. Yeah. Yeah, we saw that, and I was like, that fucking blows. So it's,
so even
it's
if we did play together,
yeah, because they don't want to split the screen into four because you know that's hard.
Yeah.
I never got the idea of not having four player split screen now that we have ginormous TVs compared to when they had four player split screen and it was like a 17 inch TV. Yeah.
It's because they have online play and they want to make people buy more copies of the game to play together. It's literally forcing sales.
Yeah. Yep.
It's so fucked.
You got to buy consoles and games.
We all have Switches, and we could buy another version of it. And the thing was, we had three Switches at the time at your house, so we could have technically done it.
Yeah, yeah. No, we could have pretty easily.
Yeah.
And you know, those modes were fun and everything. Like, I definitely want to try them with more than just two people. But I've been playing the adventure mode, too, where, like, you get to, like, you know, it's a RPG golf game, you know, you make your little golf character, and then like you level them up through everything. And I was having a lot of fun with it through the first course and like learning the game, like actually like learning like how to do all the spins and all that other stuff. And then I got to the second like course and they're like, oh, this course is under construction. Like, we can teach you how to play this super cool new version of golf called cross country golf, where you have to golf your way around like all this different like shit that's in the way, like giant, like it looks like the, what is that Pokemon, Golem or whatever, the like rolling around.
Oh, the rolling one. Yeah.
Like rolling around the course and whatnot, and just like all this shit like it, like just getting in your way. But like when you get on the course, you're hitting nine holes, and you can hit, it doesn't matter which hole you're on, you can hit to whatever flag, whatever pin you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But like everything is in a tier. So you have a stroke limit. So you can only do 40 strokes or something like that. And you have to hit up hills using like spinning tornadoes to get up them.
Jeez.
Also, you have a
two-minute golf.
You also have a 2-minute timer in between each shot. It's like, I have yet to beat the first, like I can't, like I thought I was doing so well with regular golf, and then all of a sudden they're like, here's a fucking free for all, and I'm just like, this sucks. Like, I can't get through this. So
it's like a mini golf course instead of like actual golf.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Except you're still like golfing. You just got to golf around all this shit that's in the way.
Yeah, those fucking clowns with their mouths open and shit.
So, I mean, either way, I'm still loving Mario Golf. And I'm glad I got it, and we'll continue to play it.
We have to play the Super Rush at some point.
Yeah,
we will. So Moving on to some nerd news. TJ, what you got?
So the company that made Control, Remedy, just made a few announcements Tuesday. They announced that there's going to be a multiplayer four-person co-op player versus environment game based off of the Control series of games, which seems weird because it's mostly a story-based games, but it'll also be developed in the same engine as Control, so it'll probably really look awesome. The same, function the same.
But I mean, also, Control was a spinoff of Alan Wake, and they're two entirely different games anyway, so like...
It wasn't a spinoff, it was like a side...
Yeah, it's like the same universe, but like this could be like...
Same universe.
This could be the same thing, where it's like not really a spinoff of Control, it's just like same universe, who knows what it's gonna turn out to be.
Because once you deal with time travel and multiple universes, it starts getting a little funky. They also said that they're also working on the next bigger budget Control universe game, and also they're currently working on six games in total, which is nuts for a small studio to begin with.
The next bigger budget Control universe, is that just Alan Wake 2 or is it a new IP?
There's not 100% sure in what's going to be next. It's mostly going to be an Alan Wake game that'll do some crossover with Control, like Control did with Alan Wake.
Yeah.
But they're currently working on two games that involve the Control Alan Wake universe. So, and they're also working on a free to play co-op game called Vanguard, which has nothing to do with the other games. So I'm excited to hear any Control news. I love the storyline in the game itself, so I'm excited for this. The four-player co-op thing is a little weird, just because trying to get four players to play at the same time is a pain in the ass. But I'm excited for if it has anything to do...
Didn't we just talk about Sea of Thieves?
Yeah, but that's easy to get people to play.
Oh, okay. Control,
a game like this would not be as easy to get people to play.
I guess.
I'm just excited. It's currently codenamed Condor. Speaking of golf.
Yeah.
And this is also the second pun here. If you're checking your notes for puns.
your pun notes. See how many puns we got.
So I'm excited again. The only thing with this game is it's got less of a budget than Control did. This is working on about $25 million, where Control was about $30 million. So it's got a less of a budget, but hopefully that's because they already have everything built and they're just kind of building on top of Control. I'm hoping.
Hopefully.
I'm hoping. Yeah. Maybe.
I'm hoping. I'm just excited for another Control game. I really, really loved the storyline, and because it's based off of SCP Foundation, so I'll take it. So I'm hoping for some good stuff. And also the company is doing pretty good. Their most successful financial year was 2020, which is nuts to think.
That's interesting, because they didn't even put anything out that year.
Nope, they didn't put a single game out that year, but they also released Control on PC.
They did,
That's true. That was 2020?
So, yeah, that was 2020.
Yeah, I bought it.
I'm pretty sure it's 2020. Oh, I did too.
I mean, I played it when it was on Stadia, and I was testing that out, so.
I will double check.
I need to finish Control, so check PC. Out Control and check out Condor, Project Condor, when it comes out. So let's take a quick break to line our pockets with cash. We'll be right back. And we're back. TJ, did you figure anything out?
What?
I don't know. Trying to figure out like when this game came out or something?
Oh, yeah, Control. PC, it came out. October 20th, 2020 for PC.
October?
No, it didn't.
Really?
No, it didn't.
No.
Oh, no, I'm dumb. No, yeah, that's are. Luna. I'm sorry.
I was like, there's no way.
Oh, right. That's right. I played on Luna, not Stadia.
Yeah, it was... PC was 2019. Sorry. Okay. That's my fault.
Yeah.
Anyway. Nintendo Switch got it in October.
So,
and the Series X got it February of this year. And Stadia.
Stadia.
Yep. Congratulations. Oh, Stadia hasn't gotten it yet. Sorry.
Yeah, nice. I played it on Luna.
Fuck Stadia.
Yeah.
It just has 2020 written there. 2021, that's it.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the freaking EA Play Stadia partnership that was promised forever ago.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Yeah, getting that shit.
So moving
like,
on
we partnered with Xbox instead. Yeah. Fuck off.
Now we make actual money.
Yeah.
Fucking got him.
Oh, wow, got him. So moving on, some geek on, geek off. Dom, what you got?
All right, so... something that happens quite often that pisses people off is Sony's exclusive games for PS4 come to PC. And what commonly happens is before that gets announced, the box art for the game gets updated with the only on PlayStation branding removed from it. That's what happened with Horizon Zero Dawn, and it happened with Days Gone as well. And recently it has been seen on Sony's official website as well as Amazon's website that the only on PlayStation branding has been removed from the Ghost of Tsushima box art, which obviously immediately led to everybody thinking this game is coming to PC, which would be awesome. I would totally buy it. I've been dying to play this game.
That game sounds amazing, even though it's a fucking Dark Souls bullshit again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. No, it's not. You're thinking of Sekiro.
Am I? I thought this was also very similar to that.
No, not. It's just like an RPG. You're running around.
It's being a samurai. Like, it's like every other PlayStation game. Third person. It's like a third person action adventure game, whatever, like all the other ones.
God of War.
I don't know about the combat, whatever. Yeah, it's like God of War, stuff like that. But today it was announced that the Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut is coming for PS4 and PS5. And what people have started noticing is that when games are coming out for PS5, they are also losing that only on PlayStation branding. So it looks like it was just a little bit of a jump to conclusion where people thought it was coming to PC, but in reality, it's only coming to PS5. That doesn't mean that it's not coming to PC. It still could get announced, but I think it's a little bit less likely now, and that's kind of disappointing because I definitely want to play this game. But
yeah,
you know, I might maybe pick up a PS4 on sale or something, a used one, to play games like this because I really want to. But I'm not buying a PS5 right now, even if I could find one. I'm not spending the money on a PS5 right now, but it kind of sucks because
this is after PlayStation came out with that bullshit like, oh, we will work with everyone and all that garbage.
Oh yeah, that was never going to happen. And there, we believe in generations. We're not having games that cross generations. That was a lie too. That happens every generation with Sony. They make some huge declarative statement and then immediately go back on it. Microsoft did that too last generation when they what was it, something about like sharing your games or something. Oh no, the Xbox One was going to be all online always, and people were mad about it. And the guy was like, "Well, we have a console for you if you don't want to be online. It's called the Xbox 360." That was a fucking dumb statement to make. So I mean, these companies do it all the time, but it is funny because it's like it's a constant thing with Sony where they make some huge statement of like, this is what we're going to be, and then like within the next 2 years have completely reversed course because everyone, whatever decision they made was stupid. So I'll be sad if this doesn't come to PC because I'd really like to play it. But it's looking like right now the announcement is going to be it's coming to PS5, and that's why they removed the branding, just like every other PS5 game, and that's all we're going to get for now. But
God damn it.
You get a director's cut with probably 4K, 60 FPS, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, for anyone who actually owns a PS5, not many of you out there.
Yep.
You'll be able to enjoy this game.
Exactly.
And so many others.
There you go. Ish. All right. TJ, why don't you close us out with what you got?
Okay. So Diablo 4 got some news that the characters and the armor in Diablo 4 will be customizable. This is awesome.
Finally.
Even though it's a top-down game, it's still cool to be able to customize your character. This will include things like hair and eye color, facial hair, jewelry, tattoos, all that kind of stuff. Body markings, body paint, stuff like that. And also, you'll be able to change armor pieces. So Each part of the armor can be dyed, including helmets, chests, gloves, legs, boots, etc. And you can change it to like whatever color.
Yeah.
And you can mix. You can also access a wardrobe system that lets you mix and match armor components and color palettes as well.
I'll be interested to see how that works, because like Diablo 3 has things that sound very similar to that. You can dye your armor in that. You can change the color in it. You can transmogrify to look like another piece of armor, another weapon that you've had previously, and mix and match armor pieces. You literally, I mean, you always do that. I don't know what they mean by that. But I'm hoping the fact that they're like announcing this and like saying that it's going to be customizable means that it's probably going to be way more in depth than what Diablo 3 had. And that's what I'm hoping for. I want like,
I'm hoping it's not just like, here's, you know, four faces, three eye colors and like four beards and that, like, that's all you get. And then the rest are DLC that you can purchase.
Yeah. Like we were just talking about like Forza Horizon 4, how like the character customization of that game kind of really sucks. You get
quote
to pick
unquote, character customization.
You get to pick like 12 different custom faces, like, and the faces determine your gender. Like you don't pick a gender and then pick a face based off that gender. They just have 12 people of all different, you know, races and genders, and that's what you pick. And several of them look exactly the same, just with a different hairstyle. And then they have clothes that are like 90% clothes for men. There's like barely any female cut clothes, and all the female ones are like, I have like a gold skirt on and it like looks really trashy, and like,
oh yeah,
there's like six
none
different
of the colors match,
like,
either.
Like you can't customize the colors of anything. You can't just like purchase any of them in the game. You have to like go unlock them. So there's like a beanie that I want for my character, but I can't get it because I have to like finish some race, but it doesn't tell me what race I have to finish. It's just like very cheap customization, and I'm hoping that it's not something like that.
This is also coming from a racing game, which I wasn't expecting a lot to begin with, but I'm also hoping that Diablo 4 has more than just this.
Yeah.
Where just pick out of a few things and that's your character, and that's supposed to be customized. Like, I want something that will look different. And also being able to pick what type of or what armor shows up, and not just like, because most of these games like this, RPG games especially, where you get to the end and everyone looks exactly the same because everyone is built the same way and the top armor looks like this and that's fucking it. And I hope to God
that was the good
here.
Thing about 3 in the end was that every season they had seasonal armors, they had different set pieces that you could put together. So depending on what build you were doing, you took different sets, and then you could color customize those sets too. So, you know, yeah, in the end, if you were doing the seasonal thing, every character who was doing like, I was doing like a bone spear necromancer or something. And yeah, everyone who did that would end up looking exactly the same for the most part. But like, the chances of you getting a party of four people together and two of them are playing the same classes is pretty low. And if they are, they're probably going to spec it out to be a little bit different, because you don't want two of the exact same character. So your armor will differ from there. So your look will differ from that perspective. But, you know, yeah, having the ability to really customize it and make your character look unique would be much better.
It sounds like is you can pick whatever armor, but you can change the look of it.
Yeah.
To whatever what you've had previously, which would be cool.
Well, it's just transmogrifying it and changing the look of it to something different.
Yeah, which is fine with me. I'll take it.
I'm just hoping
it's better than not. Like,
I'm saying is that everything that you've listed off sounds exactly like what they do in Diablo 3, which is not a bad thing. The customization in there was somewhat decent, but it seems weird that they would come out and be like, you can customize your stuff, and then it's like, oh yeah, but you know, it's all the exact same shit as the last game from 2012.
Yeah,
I'm hoping for better stuff, because like I've never played Diablo 3. I've only played 2.
Really?
And that was it. I never played 3.
Do you
when
own
it came
it?
Out, it was a fucking shit. I don't even own it, I don't think. Because when it came out,
I'm
it was
like
a shit
90%
cell.
Sure it's sitting on your fucking Transformers shelf right now.
No, it's 2.
Oh.
I don't own 3. I've never owned 3. because when it came out, it was such a shit show that I was like, I'm not going to play this. And also no one wanted to play it. So I was like, eh, I guess I'm done.
I spent like 400 hours in that game. No one wants to play it, my ass.
No one wanted to play it at the time.
I'm pretty sure I bought it like the day it came out.
I bought it for you because you wouldn't pay for it, you piece of shit. And then you didn't play it.
That's true. There you go.
So I'm excited for 4, I think. And also because you can play, what, 8 people now?
Yeah. No, that's Diablo 2 remaster.
Yeah.
We don't know how many people will be able to play in four.
I'm hoping they do the same thing so that we can all play, because sometimes we have 2 people that want to play together. Sometimes we have 8 people that want to play together.
Yeah.
And it would be great to have an in between as well. So it'd be great, especially with this, because I know you guys have like a 4-person crew already. So it'd be cool if we could all play together. But
yeah,
I definitely we'll have a 5-person crew. And that's the problem is everybody's like, well, somebody's not playing today.
So it would be nice to get that. That would be weird if they didn't, because all they do is just hike up the difficulty every time you enter a new person. So it's like,
right.
What the fuck? It's not going to be that difficult.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for more news on this. And do we have a release date for 4 yet?
No, we don't even have like an idea.
Yeah. I know we have a release date for Resurrected, right?
Yeah, that comes out later this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have at least we can play that until.
Yeah. All we know is that Diablo 4 won't be releasing this year. That's the only thing we know.
I'm going to say 2024.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Winter 2023, something like that.
Yeah, because 3 was announced in 2008 and it didn't come out until like 2012. So, you know. That's kind of their thing.
And it came out in 2012.
Yeah. It wasn't
playable.
Yeah, it wasn't
for
good
like three
until 2014.
Which is just ridiculous, but such is the Blizzard way. Well, that's all for us this week. Thank you for listening. To find our social media links, previous episodes, or leave us a voice message, please visit us at genfailcast.com. If you like what you've heard, please follow us on Spotify or leave a review on iTunes. Everybody say bye.
Bye.
Eldritch Blast.